So we left off yesterday going through Tosus's multiple rayas, that the principle of adam mor li'olam, that a person is always obligated to pay and there is no excuses. It's not true, there are a few excuses. There are some cases that appear in Chazal where an adam amazik is in fact pater. He also starts to collect the whole series, the whole tour through Bava Kamma. So one of the examples was actually Rishami in Bava Kamma that says that if a person is sleeping and somebody else comes and puts something down next to him and he rolls around and he bangs it and breaks it, so then he would be exempt from paying. So Tosfos says, oh, you see from here that if a person is an onus gomor, if it's an absolute, completely, totally out of his control, complete accident, so then even another mamaz would be potter. Then Tosfos shows another gemara beginning the third pekel of Bava Kamma, the person who Reuben leaves something in the middle of the street, he leaves a barrel in the middle of the street, and Shimon is walking in the dark, and there's no way in the world Shimon could see that barrel, and he breaks the barrel, he's potter. So Tosfos says, aha, you see again, that an adam amuad liolam is not an absolute, that sometimes a person would be potter, provided that's on his gomer. Then Tosfos for the third sugya, the gomer that appears at the end of Bava Kamma, so Tosfos gives me a grand tour of Bava Kamma, across 119 vlat. Tosfos tells you that at the very end of Bava Kamma, we learn about a case of Reuven borrows a cow, and then he leaves it together with his other cows. He's allowed to do that, but then the problem is Reuven dies, and now Reuven's children didn't realize that it was a borrowed cow. They went in and they shechted it, and they ate it. So the Gemara says that they have to pay for the benefit that they derived, because whenever I'm nene, nimam al chaveri, whenever I derive benefit from somebody's property, so I have to pay for it, no matter what. Even if I'm potter mitat mazik, the marshal, the Mishnah says, in the second barrel of Bava Kamma, that if my animal goes into the street and eats somebody else's produce, so I'm not chayef for Shane, because Shane is potter b'rishus harabim, we're derived from a posuk, ubir b'steyachia prat l'rishus harabim. So the Mishnah says that when my animal eats your fruit that's sitting in the street, I don't have to pay for the fruit, but I do have to pay for the hanoah. Namely, we have to make a calculation, what would be the bare minimum for me to feed my animals that night? Now, I may not have given them the most exotic fruit, like they went ahead and feasted themselves on. I would have bought them much cheaper food. So I have to make a cheshbon, how much was I net, how much did I benefit from your property? Because there's no way I could walk away and benefit from your property and not pay something for it. But that's not mazik. That's a different pash. That's called dmei hanoah. That's not at least a regular bit of mazik.
So, it sounds like zenena b'zol
choser. Oh, but the problem is but it's choser, because the other fellow was, he lost his fruit.
No, I'm talking about for the one who has to pay, he's not koser. The one who's demanding it gets some hanoah, mainly the base price of what was eaten at the lowest level. And
right,
I'm not
koser right.
Because I would have had to lay out that
point. Right. It's always the flip of zenev zel koser. Because usually zenev zel koser means I enjoy because I don't have to feed my animals, but you lost because you lost your fruit. So it's you're right. It's the flip side of zenev zel koser. So comes to us and says, why don't the Yorshim have to pay for the full amount of damages? After all, they're an Adam HaMazik, they shechted somebody's cow, even though it wasn't their fault. So Tosfos says, well, you see from here that if it's really totally completely not your fault, then in fact you do get off, and you don't have to pay for Adam HaMazik. So Tosfos put together already three different proofs, and then they put the final proof together, we'll go back to the seventh of the Maram Kamos. The second to last line of the seventh of the Maram Kamos, Uvmasdisa Nami Tanan, says Tosfos, it's not just the Rishalmi, it's not just a Gemara Bava Kamma tucked away in the end of Daf Kuf Yud Beis, but it's actually a Mishnah in the third Perek of Bava Kamma. Uvmasdisa Nami Tanan, Haya Baal Chavis Rishon Baal Kar Acharon, Dim Amad Baal Chavis Bishma Chavis Bakara Potter. Mishnah gives a famous example of, you have two people walking on the way, one guy's carrying a barrel, one guy's carrying a beam, and the guy who's carrying the barrel is in front, and he stops. He stops short, and then the barrel gets smashed. The guy who carried the beam goes right into the guy carrying the barrel and breaks his barrel. So the Mishnah says he's potter. The Mishnah says the only thing is if the person who's standing in front screams and he says, stop, 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 and the guy still goes, so then in fact he's going to be chayef for breaking the fellow's barrel. So this is almost the modern-day equivalent of two guys driving on the road. One guy stopped short. Yeah. So the guy stopped short. It's really his fault. Why did he stop short? The only thing is that Bezman Hazeh, it's always have Amod because he has brake lights. So his brake lights are the halakha equivalent of saying, Amod, stop. And the guy behind him still smashes into him. So it's chayef. So I think we usually assume that in traffic accidents today, the guy behind is the one who's responsible. So that's Mamash's Mishnah. Because since we have the equivalent of saying Amod, we have brake lights. So comes the... Comes to us and says, But in the case where the person didn't say Amod, where the Baal HaChavos just stopped for no reason, the guy carrying the beam went smashing right into him, so the Mishnah says, Potter, why is he Potter? He's an Adam Mazik. So the answer is, it's Ones, and it must be that it's called Ones Gomer. So Tosfos put together four different sources. Yushalmi, he fell asleep, and the person who broke the barrel in the middle of the night, and the case of the Yorsha Mushech, the cow, and the case of the barrel and the beam, four different sources, all four pointing in the same direction, that the fact that the Mishnah says that an Adam is Chayev is a Mazik all the time doesn't mean all the time. There is an exception to the rule, and the common denominator of all four of these cases is that all of them fall into the category of an Ones Gomer. So comes the Ramban, in the 8th of the Mamakamos, and comes the Ramban in Bav Metzia, and Daf Pebeis and Mebeis, and says that he doesn't think that it's correct. He thinks that all of the rayas of Tosfos are not necessarily correct. Why? What is it about all the rayas of Tosfos? So we take a look at the Ramban in the 8th of the Mamakamos. So first he quotes the Tosfos, the second line, Hei meshivu she'enu chai ba'onsim gedolim. He's quoting the Baal HaTosfos, that they assume that when an ones gadlon, ones gomor, the mazik is not chayav. For some call some in Yerushalmi, and the biggest proof, the first proof was the Yerushalmi, she'amu b'yoshen b'chaver v'yoshen etzlo amuad, where the Yerushalmi said explicitly that when Reuven is sleeping and Shimon lays down next to him, and then Reuven is mazik him, he's potter, says the Ramban, v'yevshi lahamida, says the Ramban, I can't accept this. I can't accept this yesod of the Baal HaTosfos. Why? Because that case is totally and completely different. The Hossam, Mishum Desheni Pasha Ba'atzmo. Boom, says the Ramban, a different yesod altogether. Adam Wa'ilam, absolutely, there's no excuse whatsoever. Except for one, says the Ramban. If the other fellow was Peshaya, if the Nizak, the person who got damaged, he was the one who was negligent. It's not that the other person was totally innocent, that I just had an Ones Gomer occur to me out of nowhere. The other fellow was the one who was Peshaya. So he was the Geirim. He was the one who caused the damage. Then and only then is the other Amazik Potter. So says the Ramban, there is no rule that says that, well, it wasn't your fault, it was a total onus, so we're going to leave you alone. No. Adam Uliolam, baby Shengi, baby Mazin, baby Air, baby Yashim, baby you're Chayev across the board. With the exception, if the other guy did the Nezek, the other guy would be Peshay, he's the one who created the Nezek, then and only then are you going to be Potter. And the Ramban says, now that I just developed this principle for you, now I'll explain to you all the other cases. The Chayin Masha Amru, Bimoya Baal Korah Rishon, Chavis Acharon, the Kulmas Nisan, the entire Mishnah about the Baal Korah and the Baal Chavis, the two guys walking on the way, the guy in the front stops, the other guy smashes into him. Why is the person who smashed into him Potter? Says Ramban, don't tell me, like Tosfos said, because the owner of the beam is an Ones Gomer. No, it's not true. Ones Gomer is Chayev. The only reason why the Baal Korah is Potter is because the other fellow was Gurim, the damage. The person who stopped short and didn't signal, he was the Peshaya. So whenever the Nizik is Peshaya, that's the Potter. And says the Ramban, once I have this Yisod, I'll take it, keep on going with it. He says, what about the case in the beginning of the third parak where Reuven left a barrel in the middle of the night and Shimon smashed into it and broke it? And the Gemara says he's potter. Doesn't that indicate that Tosfos is right? That Ones Gomer is potter? Says the Ramban, no. 0 for 3, that also doesn't indicate anything about Ones Gomer being potter. There also, there was a pshias, a nizuk, that the person was pshias, who told him to leave his barrel in the middle of the street, in the middle of the night. So in all three of the cases, there was a pshias, a nizuk, and kulam shem adu amaz, shem pshias, the nizuk, potter, says there, the Ramban conveniently left out the fourth case. So three out of the four cases, at least, is what he says, three out of the four cases, are easily dismissed by just invoking that new principle called pshias, a nizuk. But the obvious problem is, what about the fourth case? So let's chazer for a second. What was the fourth case? The fourth case was Reuven borrows a cow. And then Reuven dies. And now Reuven's Yorshim go ahead innocently. We're not screaming at them. We're not accusing them of anything. But Lamaisa, they shechted somebody else's cow. At the end of the day, they were mazik somebody else's cow. And the Gemara said, no, you don't have to pay. Hey, you have to pay the man. No, you got to pay. You got to pay what it costs to feed a cow a little bit. But you don't have to pay really, really with the damage of the of the cow was. Not what it gives to feed a cow, of course, to feed yourselves, I'm sorry. So, but you don't have to pay the full damage of the cow. So Tosus brought one of these as one of the four ayahs that owners Gomer's potter. Now wait a second, the Ramban is refuting Tosus's Yisod. The Ramban says there is no such principle called that owners Gomer's potter. There's no underlying principle owners Gomer being potter. It's just that you have to nitpick at every case and say, there was Pshias and Izzak, and that was Pshias and Izzak, and that was Pshias and Izzak. So that deflection of all of Tosus's proofs works for three out of the four cases. It answers the case of the beam in the barrel, and it answers the case of the guy left the barrel in the middle of the night, and it answers the case of the guy sleeping. But how does it affect this case? Where was the person Pshias exactly? I lent you a cow. What did I do wrong? I lent you a cow. I was supposed to be Ola Adas, you're going to die in the middle of the night, and then your kids are going to eat the cow. What does that have to do with me? I didn't do anything wrong. So the only way to exempt the person, the Chora, is based on the principle called Onus Gomer. So how could the Ramban possibly answer this question? So comes the Ramban and says that V'nichal, if you take a look at the 10th of the Ramban Kamos, V'nichal Eizal, the Hosegon should Bo'ache V'goz V'ochlov Al-Hai, this is the punchline, of Al-Hai D'Rishus Kanochis, the chesvurim de shalaviyam hilo. The Ramban of Maseches Ksubas introduces another case. The Ramban tells us that maybe this is different because the case of eating shechting the cow, eating the cow, I thought it was my cow. What does that make a difference? When I think something belongs to me, and rightfully so, it's not that I walked into your backyard and say, oh, well, I think your cows belong to me. I walked into my backyard. The person's father just died. He left the Arush of 100 cows, and now there's 101 cows there. So normal common sense dictates that everything in my father's backyard belongs to my father. So that's a new category called Kisvurim Shem Shaloi. So comes a Rambanic Subs that seems to tell us that Kisvurim Shem Shaloi, when a situation arises that I have a legitimate right to assume this is mine, that's not called an Adam HaMazik. Adam HaMazik, by definition, means I'm going out and causing damage to something that I'm not really supposed to be doing. I'm in an area, I'm involved in something I shouldn't be doing. Now, when I break your barrel in the middle of the night, I shouldn't have been breaking your barrel. I wasn't justified in breaking your barrel. So then we have to discuss, so why am I potter? So I'm an Adam HaMazik, because I didn't have justification to be doing what I'm doing. I'm an Adam HaMazik. So now we have to pilpul, why am I potter? So Tosfos pilpuled, I'm potter because it's known as Gomer. And the Rabbah disagreed with Tosfos and says, no, that's not a ptur. The reason why I'm potter is because of Pshias and Nizak. But in a case where I'm justified in what I'm doing, I'm allowed to be doing what I'm doing, if I would come and ask, if I would call the rabbi and say, Rabbi, am I allowed to shech this cow? So the rabbi would say, well, where was the cow? It was in your barn. My father just died, it's in the barn. So why not? Why can't you shech the cow? It's your cow. So now it turns out Igloy Mills said this was the 101st cow that they realized belonged to somebody else. That's Bishus Kanochis. And whenever it's Bishus Kanochis, so that by definition is not called an Onus Mamazik. So you don't have to pilpul, is it Onus Gomer? Is it Onus Gomer? Is it Pshit? Bishus Kanochis, that's a brand new category. This idea of the Ramban, that Bishus Kanochis, may explain away another phenomena. It's a sugya that I thought I'd put it in the Marmar Kamos. I think it's the middle of one of these Marmar Kamos. We're just going to say it. We'll say it. We can take a look at the 11th of the Marmar Kamos. I think Tosfos quotes it. Tosfos quotes part of the sugya, the end of the 11th of the Marmar Kamos. We'll just read one quick line to Tosfos. It's four lines from the bottom. Tosfos makes reference to v'chein mucha v'brecha gozel eitzim gabi tavach uman shekilkel. Tosfos refers to the sugya that tzaditas in Maseches Bava Kamma. I'll fill you in for a moment just what that sugya is all about. This is going to be another one of Tosfos' potential rayas about ma'adam ma'azik v'onis gomer. The Gemara in tzaditas talks about the following shayla. I ask a guy to shecht an animal for me. And he goes in and shechts the animal, right? And then he goofs. He made it to an avail. He didn't shecht it properly. So now he caused me a tremendous hefsek mamon. All I can do is sell it to the goyim, feed it to the dogs. So the price of kosher meat is significantly higher than non-kosher meat. So I just suffered a hefsek mamon. So I want to bring this fellow to a dintar. I want to bring the shecht to a dintar. So the truth is that this is not only true about a tavach umut shekilkel. It can happen all the time. I hired a guy to do a job for me and he messed up. Somebody just told me recently with the Shaila that they hired somebody to check the suit for Shatnez. The fellow checked the suit for Shatnez, and he told him there was Shatnez there, and he took the whole thing apart, and now it wasn't even clear there was Shatnez there in the first place. The piece that was taken out may not have even been shot at, and he ended up causing the guy now to get a new cowl out of it. So now I want to know, I hired you to do a job, and you ended up costing me more than it should have happened. You ended up damaging me in the process. So what's the din? Can I take you to a din Torah or not? Can I take the Uman, the top of Uman Shekil Kel, to a din Torah? So the Gemara says, it depends. Says, if the person is getting paid for the job, so then yes, I have a right to take him to a din Torah. I can sue him for the damages that he did. If the person is just being a nice guy and he's doing me a favor, so then I cannot take him to a din Torah. What's pshat? What kind of distinction is that? So it's clear from the Gemara that if we're differentiating between getting paid and not getting paid, that's a sugya of Hilchos Shomrim. That's already a parasha, a different parasha. That's not Adam HaMazik. That's a parasha of Adam HaShomer. The Torah tells us in Parashas Mishpatim that if I ask you to watch my item, so then if I pay you for the job, then you have a higher level of responsibility. If I don't pay you for the job, then you have a lesser degree of responsibility. Let's say if I ask you, I'm going away for a week, please watch my car. So if you leave the car door wide open, the key's ignition, car's on, and somebody walks away with it, somebody drives off with the car, so then you're chayv because you're a pesheya. But if I asked you to please wash my car and you locked it up well, you kept the keys locked up, some guy came and stole the car in the middle of the night, so that's Geneva. So Geneva, you're going to be a Potteron. So a Shomechinam has a certain degree of responsibility, but only if there's a real bona fide pshir, if there's real negligence. A Shomechachar has a high level of responsibility. Shomechachar is chayv even for Geneva, even if the item gets stolen. If a crazy thing happens, lightning strikes the car, then he's Potter. If it's an Ones, but if it's a Geneva, so he would be chayv. So there are degrees of responsibility depending on whether or not you're getting paid. So if the Gemara in Bava Kamma is introducing to us the difference whether the Sheikh is getting paid or not, what the Gemara is clearly referring to is that this is Pashas HaShomrim. When I give you an animal to shecht, believe it or not, you're also my shomer. For those 5 seconds, you're my shomer. I give you my suit to check for shatness. For those couple of minutes, you are my shomer. So now, did something happen to that item that obligates you with Torah Shomrim? So that's what the Gemara says, it depends. Something happened that was the equivalent of Geneva. Nothing got stolen, but it was a degree of responsibility that mimics Geneva. So therefore, if you're a shomer sochor, you're chayef debay. If you're a shomechidam, then you're potter from paying. So for the fact that the Gemara introduces a distinction between getting paid and not getting paid, it's clearly the Gemara is looking at the sugya through the eyes of Shomrim. So comes Tosus and says, wait a second, why are we looking to the sugya through the eyes of Shomrim? What happened to Adam HaMazik? Isn't a person a Mazik? So the answer is, clearly, Tosus is going to answer the same story. Tosus is going to say, well, it's an onus. The guy didn't mean to. It's totally, it's crazy. He's a Tavach Uman. He's a professional Shaykhid. He shechted 1,000 cows. He never messed up. And the one time, boom, he made a mistake. So Tosus is willing to treat that as an onus. So in terms of Hilchos Adam HaMazik, we're going to exempt him because of onus. In terms of Hilchos Shomrim, we're going to either exempt him or obligate him, depending on whether he's getting paid or not. But the underlying principle, says Tosus, this is the fifth of the sources, in a sense. This is the fifth example of the fact that Adam HaMazik is not always chayv if it's an onus gomer, or quasi-onus gomer. How would the Ramban respond to this proof of Tosus? So you can't call this Pshias HaNizik. Where's the Pshias HaNizik? The owner of the cow didn't do anything wrong. I hired a shoychet. The guy's been shechting for 100 cows before. He never messed up. I give him a cow. What did I do that was wrong? So that's not, you can't hide behind Pshias HaNizik. So what possible tour could there be, according to the Ramban, that could exempt him, in a sense, from the hezek that he did? So if you take a look at the 12th of the Marmakamos, so the 12th of the Ramakamos, the Shit Mukubetz, that's the Daf Chav Zayin, quotes in the name of the Riva. So the Riva says, at the end of the first line, Lo Shaykh Bo Din Adam HaMazik. Said, you cannot call this Shochet a Mazik. You want to call him a Shomer and discuss whether he's getting paid or not, that you can do. But to call him a Mazik is not appropriate. Why? Shaharei Alav Mutal Lis Asik Bedover. Because he's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. He was asked by the owner to shecht the cow. Ulekach lamechayev rak b'pshia. But therefore, if he was pesheya b'dovar, depending on the degree of pshia, then we could hit him for shemachidim, shemachosacha, depending on whether he's getting paid. But the korban of the mamazik, so that cannot be. Why? Because a loveless asek b'dovar. If you take a look at the 13th of the Marmakamos, so the Shitbu Kubetzes quotes from a Rabbeinu Yeshayah, who also quotes the Rivah. They're both quoting the same Shita, and he quotes it a little bit of a nuance different. If you take a look, the second line, V'chein tavach shekilgel, v'shum dekevan shemis askimein l'tovas ha'nizak, lav adam ha'maziku, v'yesh lam din shomer, im shomachinim, shomachach, ha'kan l'shono. So Rabbeinu Yeshayah quotes from the Rivah, an almost identical pshat, and trying to explain why the shochet is not a mazik. And he says, because he's trying to do something good on behalf of the nizak. What's the nuance of difference? According to the first version of the Rivah, it sounds like because he was asked to do it, a loveless asik. He's doing what he was legitimately doing. Over here, he's saying that he's doing it because he's doing you a favor. It sounds like maybe even if he wasn't hired to do so, maybe that would also be enough to take him out of the category of mazik. So it's a little bit of a nuance of a difference. But the common denominator of both versions of the Rivah is that he's basically justifying what he's doing. Mazik means I'm unjustified in what I'm doing. I have no right to break your barrel. Now, if it's an onus, we can discuss it. If it's just an onus, we can discuss it. But I'm called the gavra of a mazik. When I do something that I was totally, completely justified in doing, either because I justifiably thought it was my animal, like the case of the Yoshim, or I justifiably shechti it because you asked me to do it. So anytime I'm entering into your domain, I'm entering into your, touching your property, I'm doing something to your property with the justification of doing it, that's not the parsha of mazik. It may be another parsha. Maybe it's a shomer, so you have to discuss getting paid, not getting paid, etc. So the Ramban would most probably buy into this revolt as well. So I think we had a total of how many rayas? Keeping track, we have five rayas. So we have five rayas. What's the answer to this phenomenon? Why is the guy who's sleeping potter, and why is the guy who broke the barrel in the middle of the night potter, and why is the guy with the beam in the barrel potter, and why the Yershim potter, and why is the Shechit potter? All five cases. So Tosu says there's one answer fits all. Tosu says every one of them are examples of onus gomer for different reasons, different nuances, but they're all onus gomer. And the Ramban says no, that is not an all-encompassing answer. The Ramban says there are fundamentally two different groups of answers here. The first three proofs are addressed with the issue of Pshias and Nizuk, and the next two cases are addressed with a totally different issue. That's the issue of Rishus to be doing it. One case it's Rishus to be doing it because you honestly thought it was yours because you were just Yorish or the other cows. In the other case, you honestly had a right to be there because you were asked to do it with Tovas Chaveiro, Olav Asasik B'Dover. So according to Tosus, there's one answer that solves all the five cases. According to Rabbah, the two different groups of answers that solve all five all put together. Manav Kamin Ladina, tremendous stuff Kamin Ladina. But if you have a situation where it really was on his gomer, there's no way in the world we can hold you negligent for what you did. On the other hand, you had no Rishus to touch the other person's property. You weren't doing anything wrong, but you had no rishus to touch the other person's property, and there was no pshias anizak. So what's the dim? So ma'aseh shekachot, somebody asked me the following shaila. Person was dancing at a wedding, and their glasses fell off. And your glasses fall off in the middle of dancing, what's going to happen is the next fellow is going to step on the glasses. So shaila is, what's the dim? Is the person who stepped on the glasses chayef to pay or not? What's that locha? So I thought it should depend on Tosfos and the Ramban, that according to the Baal HaTosfos, you're potter. Because I'm dancing at a wedding. So I'm supposed to be oil ha'das, and the guy's glasses are going to fall off. So according to the Tosfos, l'chor you're potter, because it's done. Derech hezek done. Derech in his gomer, I'm potter. What about according to the Ramban? So was there pshias ha'nizek here? So I was telling over this shir to a group of boys. So they said to me, no, there's pshias ha'nizek. I should make sure his glasses were tied on his nose. I don't know. The guy's walking around wearing his glasses. So the fact that that they fell off the middle of a dance or something, I'm not sure that's called pshias ha'nizek. I don't know, but I guess it depends on how wild the person was dancing. Let's assume for a minute it wasn't pshias ha'nizek. So there's no pshias ha'nizek. And on the other hand, according to the Ramban, the person who broke the glasses can't claim b'shuska of it. He was justified in dancing, but he wasn't justified. He had no right to step in the guy's glasses. It's not like the case of the shechet who was told he's allowed to take a knife and shech the cow. It's not like the Yarshim who had a right to shech the cow because they thought it was theirs. Here, he's justified in what he's doing, but he's not justified in touching somebody else's property. It was an oneness that happened. We're not calling him a bad guy, according to the Ramban. It was an oneness, but according to the Ramban, hiding behind onus doesn't help you. So I thought that, according to the Baal HaTosfos, the person would be would be potter, because we can call it Aris Gomer, according to the Ramban, the person would be chayev. So we're not sure what the din is. Machlokes have shown him, not so simple. So maybe you'd have a right to say, I'm Hotzev Chayel of Araya, that I could say to you, I'm not paying you for the glasses. You go prove to me who's right. You go be Machariya, Machlokes starts in the Ramban. Prove to me that you're entitled to the money, according to the Ramban.
Even according to the Ramban, it's like I did something in my Rishus, meaning when I'm dancing, I'm allowed to go into that, I'm going in the circle. I mean, every step I take, it's a lovely sausage, or it's like in my Rishus, I'm allowed to be there.
But
you put in the glasses under my feet.
But if that's tricky, because if I'm mazgu in the street, I'm also chayev. The Ramban says the only reason why the Balkar, Balchavis is potter is because it was a pshias anizak. So according to the Ramban, the starting point is, doesn't matter, Hezek, other mazik is bein b'shus yom, b'shus yom, doesn't matter where it happens. Other mazik is always chayev. El what? If there's a pshias and nizak, that's a poter. So I'm arguing here, I don't think there's a pshias and nizak here. I'm not so sure that this is the equivalent of a guy stopping in the street. Here his glasses went off. He didn't. If the guy would have taken his glass and throw him on the floor, and then the other guy steps on him, then you're right. That's pshias and nizak, it'd be poter. That's not what happened. So I'm not so sure that would be a poter. One could argue here that maybe a potter according to Ramban for a totally different reason. There is a gemara in the end of Masechet Sukkah that says that on Hoshana Rabbah, when they used to finish shaking lulav, so the little children would run around stealing everybody's esrogim because the people didn't need the esrogim anyway. So Tosfos says, what right do you have to steal a guy's esrog? He says, it's esrog, wait. So Tosfos writes that Mishum Simchus Yontif, there was an understood mechila. Means when you're involved in an act of Simchus Yontif, the kids would be happy. The kids got a kick out of it. It's running around collecting esrogim. I don't need the esrog anyway. I already shook the little bit of esrog this morning, what I needed for. So yeah, apparently no one was making too much esrog jam and liquor in the days of Chazal. So they were going to throw the esrog out after Yontif anyway. So Mishum Simchus Yontif, there was an understood tonight that they're allowed to go ahead and gozel in a sense, take something without permission. So on the spot, Tosfos quotes a fascinating story. Tosfos writes that in their days, they used to do shtick at chasidus, the same way we do shtick today. What's the shtick? We always dress up, it's like on Purim, we dress up in things that in our wildest dreams we can never be. That's our shtick. So what do? Guy dresses up in a chasid, he puts on a football uniform, dresses up like a bear, you know, things that are just out of the realm of possibility. So the days of Bali Atosis, what did they used to do? They used to imitate the knights in shining armor. They weren't such shining armor, they were all Reitzchim and whatever, in Gazlan. But so the Jews would dress up like the knights, and what did they do? They would come in on horses, yeah. Into the chasna. They would have the duels on the horses at Maisalach, and that was the shtick. The Tosis writes before, that was the shtick that they used to do in front of the chasna and kala. So every once in a while, somebody wasn't so good. It's like the guys who you know, dance with fire. Every once in a while, the guy drops the fire, burns down half the catering hall. So the same problems existed in the days of the Balei Tosis. So the wannabe King Arthurs with the Yeshiva Bachurim would end up once in a while knocking the other guy off the horse, and the guy would break his leg. So Tosis writes the potter. Why? Mishum Simchus Yontif Hisnu. Simchus Chasna Hisnu. Because it's understood if you're involved in an act of simcha like this, it's you play at your own risk, dance at your own risk. So it was understood that people were moichat to one another. So the Ramah quotes this in Uchas Purim. The Ramah writes that in the middle of Simchat Purim, if you broke something or you punched somebody, if you mamish intentionally beat the guy, use it as your opportunity to damage. That's what, but if in the course of Simchat Purim, we'll leave out some of the gory details how this sometimes plays out, but if in the course of a legitimate, we'll leave it like that, a legitimate celebration of Purim, in contrast to some other celebrations of Purim, but in a legitimate celebration of Purim, and somebody gets a little bit damaged, one's so terrible, so it's understood that the people are a moichel. So I thought that maybe the same is true by the chasnas here also. I'm dancing at the chasnas like this, like the horses in the days of Valentine's Day. You come to a chasana, as everybody knows, people walk away from chasanas with bruises on their feet. Someone gets stepped on, they get banged up a little bit. So it's part of the course. It's fun. Dance at your own risk at a chasana. So your glasses fell off, and they got stepped on. The guy wasn't a mazik, amazing. So it's understood that the kachis knew. That's all part of the game. It's like the post can talk about it, playing ball. Guy's playing football, he gets bruised up, so he's going to turn around and call the other guy, Mazik. So what are you playing football for? He said, if you're playing a game, and there's a little bit of a risk, so it's built into the system. So maybe one can argue that broken glasses are built in risk to dance against chasidus. Maybe I don't have to think about that a little bit more. But I call upon him, but this machlekes says in the Ramban is a fundamental machlekes. It permeates the entire Masech. The Tais has one Yisayin, and the Ramban has two Yisayinus. Each one of these Gedolei Rishonim has different ways of looking at the entire prism of sugyas as it relates to other Mazik.
How's your pop?